Buenos dias, Iglesia. Good morning, church. Brothers and sisters, today we are hearing of God's blessing towards the pure in heart, that they would see God. Our first reading is Moses on the mountain, and God is pleased with Moses' faithfulness and obedience and being the spokesperson that God used to rescue his people out of slavery and out of Egypt, and has been a great leader for his people. And God is so pleased with Moses that he says, ask me anything and I'll give it to you. And Moses asked to see the glory of God. Now God is willing to answer, willing to do much to answer this request, right? Moses will experience the goodness of God. He will know God as friend, but God cannot allow his friend Moses to see his face because, as God says, no one may see my face and live. So God hides Moses in this cleft of a rock, and his glory passes by, and God covering Moses with his hand. And then God, after he passes by, removes his hand so Moses can see the back of God, but not full on, not face to face. But Moses' longing is a longing I think we all have. It is a longing we have as creatures made by and for our Creator God. We are made to know God face to face. It was the delight of our first parents to walk with God this way. They knew him face to face. And what changed between that first pair and Moses is sin. Sin breaks our connection to God, and as sinners, we cannot look at God and live. And yet there is this ongoing desire in our hearts to see God. And it's not just in our own hearts. God picked Israel to be his people, to gather them and give them the law that will work, that he will gather these people and they will be his co-workers, helping to restore God's reign on earth as it is in heaven, helping to renew God's blessing to all people through this one people, finding a way so that once again our heart's desire can be sight, that we could see God. And God wants this too. God gave Aaron, brother to Moses, and the first high priest of the people of God, this blessing to speak over the people. We had that read for us from Numbers 6. But hear it again, not just as something we long for, not just as a blessing, but given that this is a God-given blessing, that these words capture God's heart as well, what he is working towards. The Lord said to them, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace. Blessing forms us. That's what we've been learning these past few weeks in this series on what God loves from Matthew 5. And this blessing from Numbers 6 is to mold and focus God's people that the desire that we have, that we need, this blessing of God's presence, of being kept and of knowing his pleasure, of knowing his grace and his peace, comes from knowing and seeing God. And there is hope in this as well, that once again, at one point, through what God is doing, we will see the face of God. To see God is to know God. To see God is to be in the midst of his glorious presence. It's to be at rest, safe, secure from all harms. To see God is to know that we are once again restored to right relationship, that we are friends with God. When we see God face to face, there is this truth grasped deep in us that everything will be all right, that everything will make sense. And to see God is to be in the presence of not just someone who can give peace and comfort and grace, but is the very source of those things. To be in the presence of God, to see God, is to know that we are loved and free to love in return. If you were like me, sometimes this question comes up late at night with friends. What would it be like to see God? We might even ask, what would we ask God if we could see him? Maybe you sit around a fire, as me and my friends often did, and said, what would you ask God? What would you do? What would that be like? What would it be like to be in his presence? This question, this desire, this longing for God is deep within all of us. And to see God is this hope that we hear in this blessing from Aaron. It's found within the cry of Psalms. It's promised in the prophets. It's sung by the church. We pray it and we cry out for it, especially when life and circumstances and fear and grief seem to mask the glory of God's presence. And there is this great good news that Jesus teaches us that there is a way to be blessed with seeing God. It will be for the pure in heart. If you're like me, there is this great moment of joy. Oh, I will see God. And then almost this deflation because I know I am not pure at heart. We hear this and we think, that would be great, but this can't possibly be for me. That on our best days, our desires, our motivations, what we aim for and wanting seems to be this mixed bag between God and everything else. And on my worst days, there is sin upon sin. And some of us hear this call to be pure in heart, to be holy and righteous, and think, I got this. And that was God's people's problem. One of the things we try as people who desire to see God and yet know the impurity of our own hearts is to think that it's our job to clean ourselves up. So we take the commands and expectations of God and we turn them into works that show God and others how good we are. That's what happened with Moses and God's people. They were given this law, a good gift. It was to shape them into being a people who God would use to bless the whole earth and all people, but instead the law and keeping the law became a way to show I'm better than you. A way of saying, look at me and all I do. The law that was meant to shape and form God's people into a blessing was instead twisted into mockery, a way of looking down on those we are meant to bless. It continued into Jesus' day. He has these words for folks who he calls them whitewashed tombs. That is, they look really, really nice on the outside, but there's nothing but death and rotting inside. And this problem continues to plague God's people even after Jesus. The church tradition I grew up in started as a mission to help folks in the worst places. And so seeing the damage and brokenness that came out of a result of things like alcohol, they made a decision. We're going to put a rule in place, no drinking. It was, I think, a way of being called to be a blessing to the people they are serving. That they wanted to be a community where the temptations of alcohol was removed so that their brothers and sisters could come and be a part of them. It would be an act of bearing with one another in love. And part of our own church practice around communion is rooted in the same desire. Later this morning, our worship is going to come to this crescendo of gathering around this table, the Lord's table. And we're going to drink of the cup and eat of the bread. But we don't use wine in our cup so that we can all be around the table. But sometimes rules get twisted. Within the church tradition I came from, within a few generations of their founding, the rule of no drinking ceased to be a way of caring for one another. Ceased to be a way of giving room for others to also say, oh no, I abstain. And instead it became a way to say to others, I'm not like you. I don't drink. I'm better than you. The laws or rules meant to enable blessing and freedom can so easily be twisted into self-righteousness. In Jeremiah 17:9, we read that the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? The heart can even twist the good gifts of God's teaching and wisdom to turn us away from our purpose in seeing God to only seeing our own self-righteousness. Now, some folks come naturally to thinking we can earn God's favor. But all of us can fall into it, and it makes misery for us and for others. There's a writer I really like. His name is Dallas Willard, and here's what he has to say to those who think it's their job to make themselves and others pure in heart. He says this, they are the ones for whom nothing is good enough, not even themselves. These are the perfectionists. They are a pain to everyone. Themselves most of all. In religion, they will certainly find error in your doctrine, your practice, and probably your heart and your attitude. They may even be harder on themselves. They endlessly pick over their own motivations. They wanted Jesus to wash his hands even though they were not dirty and called him a glutton and a wine bibber. Their food is never cooked right. Their clothes and hair are always unsatisfactory. They can tell you what is wrong with everything, how miserable they are. This misery of a self-imposed purity, or the misery of knowing far too well the sin in our own hearts. Not even Moses, friend of God, the one who pleased God, got to see God face to face. So who can see God then? How can this possibly happen on our end? Church, it can't happen from our end. But there's good news. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Who is speaking these words? Throughout Jesus' ministry, there are people who recognize what is going on in Jesus being in their midst. We had that read one just short story from Luke 2 of Simeon, who's promised he would not die without seeing the Lord's Messiah. This Messiah is this promised figure, this person who would come to save God's people and extend the blessing of being God's people to all people. This Messiah who would establish the reign of God and who God would come to be king and set things right again. And so Simeon, moved by the Spirit, heads to the temple. On the day that Mary and Joseph bring Jesus, just 8 years old, to the temple to make a sacrifice on his behalf as a firstborn son. And Simeon sees Jesus. And in seeing Jesus, Simeon sees the Messiah. And he praises God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." And this keeps happening throughout Jesus' life. Folks would see Jesus and have great rightful expectations of what God is doing in Jesus. So they would come for healing. They would come for teaching. They would come knowing that they just had to be with him because something was happening in the arrival of Jesus. These folks were not pure in heart in the moral sense, that they were without sin. Some of them were even self-righteous, legalistic, perfectionists, purity busybodies policing theirs and others' adherence to the rules. And yet they saw God. Why? I want to put forward to you that pure in heart here does not mean being without sin. That's where we jump to. But it's more about devotion and desire. Those who saw Jesus and recognize in Jesus, God are the pure in heart in the sense that they wanted nothing more than to encounter and experience God in their midst. It's this sense that all we want is God. A single-minded devotion, a willingness to be formed by knowing God is, I think, the best way to read this pure in heart. It is what, like when Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It is the folks who leave everything behind to follow him. It is you and me having encountered God and letting him shape our plans and actions and hopes and behaviors and words to be in line with our experience of him. These are the ones who will see God and continue to live as people who have encountered the living God. The pure in heart can recognize Jesus, the one telling them of the blessings God has for them, as God himself in their midst. How can we see God? Well, if we are pure in heart. But I also want to point out to you again that those who are pure in heart, that in our longing to see God, we can only see God because God has first acted to be seen. We can see and recognize God in Jesus because God has come near in Jesus. And we cannot overstate how incredible this gift is. Seeing God does not begin with you or begin with me. It's not dependent on what I have done or what you have done. It's dependent on who God is. And our God is a self-revealing God who longs to bless you. Seeing God begins by God coming in the person of Jesus and taking on the work and suffering to make himself known in a sinful world. And this should even change how we read the Beatitudes. Because sometimes, if you were like me, they can become a checklist. I want to be blessed. Okay, what do I got to do, God? Okay, I can do that. I can do that. I can do that. And we just turn these incredible offering of blessing into another form of legalism. No, they are not a checklist on how to get blessed. What they are revealing is that in Jesus, God has come near. God is setting things right. Because God in Jesus is being enthroned as king of this broken world. Because what God loves is you and his creation. And so in Jesus, God comes near to be seen. And if you can see Jesus, you can see the Father. You will behold his glory. This is good news. Thank God that our being good enough is not what is needed for God to come near. We can never be good enough or earn being in God's presence. Praise God that by his grace and love in Jesus, all are welcome to know his blessing. Jesus is saying, I am God here in your midst, and so you are blessed. And this blessing to see God is for the pure in heart who want nothing else, nothing more than to see God. And it's a blessing even to those who have tried miserably to make themselves pure in heart because they just long for goodness. They long for things to be made right, and they are miserable because they can't do it themselves. Jesus is saying, even you are blessed. Because we are never good enough, but thank God Jesus is. In Jesus, God has made a way for us to begin experiencing his glorious presence, his blessing here and now. Because God is a blessing God, who in Jesus has overcome our wickedness, our self-righteousness, the evils of our heart with his own goodness. And so his presence, his kingdom, his glory, his blessing is open for you. And the deep desire we all have to see God can be satisfied. Dallas Willard writes that the pure in heart will see God, and when they do, they will find what they have been looking for, someone who is truly good enough. Jesus is truly good enough.